Hey guys, Jacob Wynn from the Tripod, where we break down the NFL every week, give you our best bets and reasoning why. And last week was a very good week. Went 6-2 on the best bets. The two losses, the Vikings and the Raiders, didn't cover the line, but they did win head to head, somewhat luckily. Some crazy games with crazy swings at the end. We were on the right side of them. That allowed us to cash both the multis last week, a 9-1 and a 12-1. In fact, that's now a streak of 2 weeks in a row where every single team I've picked has won, apart from one occasion picking the Bucks, and they didn't win, but they covered the line with a +3.5 against the Chiefs. And that's allowed us to win multis for the last 2 weeks. So that's not going to be the case every week, but it's good to be back on track. 46-34 on best bets, which is 58%. Actually, that's not even including yesterday, where I did give out a best bet on the Thursday night football match, took the Rams -3.5, and that covered. They won by 21. So actually, might even be up to 59% for the season and already 1-0 on week 14 in the NFL. I'm going to go through every single game this week and try and share my thought process. I do have a handful of best bets. Let's get into it and talk about really deep diving. Here's a game that I've got like a real theory that I want to get at, and I'm really struggling whether it's going to apply this week or not. It's the Giants hosting the Cardinals. Very interesting game. The Giants find themselves top of the NFC East, and the Cardinals have been on a bit of a skid and lost again last week to the Rams. We were on the Rams in that one, and Cardinals were beaten quite handily. And part of the reason the Cardinals haven't been playing well, people are saying, you know, have defenses worked out Kyler Murray, or is he playing hurt? Has he got a bum shoulder? And then he's not wanting to take the hits, not wanting to run. And what makes him so elusive and so effective as a quarterback is his ability to run. So there's a question mark there, but maybe the shoulder's getting healthier. There's certainly no signs that, you know, the injury is getting worse. So another week, could Arizona get back on track? Now here's my Giants angle, right? You go back and look at the first 10 weeks of the Giants season. They played a murderer's row of defenses. I think they played the strongest defensive schedule of anyone in the league for the first 10 weeks. I'm talking about Washington twice, the Steelers when they were fully healthy, the Rams, the Bears, 49ers. So, of course, that's going to suppress your scoring, and the stats will tell you that the Giants are a below-average offense, but I think maybe they're actually a decent offense. The last couple of weeks, they played the Bengals, they played the Seahawks, and that's where you'd expect them to show if they could move the ball on offense. But Danny Dimes tears his hamstring against Cincinnati. That game goes under, and they play with a backup quarterback, and the game goes under against Seattle. Now Daniel Jones is a full participant in practice. We've got to wait and see if he's going to be back. But I can see a scenario where Daniel Jones comes back in. Neither the Giants or the Cardinals have good defenses. They both arguably have above average offenses. This total sitting about 45. I would love to hit the over. I just have to wait, I suppose, until Jones is in for sure. But what's holding me back is, what if Jones comes back in, but his hammy's busted still and they're handing the ball off a lot more to Gorman? And what if Kyler Murray still isn't quite right? So that's where I'm sharing with you guys my internal struggle to decide whether to pull the trigger or hope that basically this theory doesn't manifest itself this week and then there'll be hidden value. And there will come a time in this season where the Giants are firing on all cylinders, and I'm sure they'll plan some shootouts. Okay, next, Dallas are at Cincinnati. I originally thought this game must have been in Dallas, seeing the Cowboys -3.5, but this is on the road. And I thought, look, I don't think Dallas can lose at home to Cincinnati, Dalton against his former team. That would just be the lowest of low points. But this is on the road. Like, I can't trust Dallas laying over 3.5 on the road. So I don't want any part of Cincinnati. I think I haven't been on them all year and certainly tried to fade them a couple times because they're a useless lame duck team. The coach will be out. They're down to maybe the third string QB. So certainly not laying it on the road with Dallas. That means I've just got to pass the game. I do have a best bet here with Carolina at home to Denver. So this game's off the board at a couple of bookies, but I'm still going to play it. Now, I will warn you why it's off the board. Carolina coming off the bye, but they have had a COVID scare in camp. So the news came out about 4 or 5 days ago that 8 players were deactivated on the COVID list, right? Of those 8, one of them's a practice squad player. So we're talking about 7 guys. For the last 3 days, they've had no new positive tests. Now, you go back to the guys that were deactivated. Those guys didn't necessarily test positive, but they were just linked to a scare. So they've had to be like, stay away from the facility till they're cleared. Now, yesterday, 3 of them were reactivated. That leaves just 4 that still have time to be reactivated before Monday. So I'm not super concerned about that. I think coming off a bye, you're rested, you're healthy, you've got a bit of squad depth. And I don't think that there's going to be numerous key players out for Carolina based on the fact there's been no follow-up positive test. Now, speaking of that bye, they've got a new coach, Josh Rule, I think it is. And he's had a whale of a season. Now, I haven't been on Carolina all year, I don't think, because I really thought they were set up with no roster continuity to have a really crappy season. No one's expecting anything from them and set up for the draft. But Teddy Bridgewater has played outstanding. The other guy who deserves a shout-out is Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator. Now, he's the one who masterminded the LSU dominance in the NCAA football last season. Of course, LSU undefeated, won the title, and the quarterback was Joe Burrow. But now Brady is the offensive coordinator. I just think let's give these two guys their first ever bye week to see what they can cook up. You worry about a team that's out of the playoff hunt in week 14, not still trying and potentially tanking, but we've seen effort out of Carolina all season. There's even a chance Christian McCaffrey comes back off the bye, but even if he doesn't, I think that they're a very live possibility to win this game and win well in this one. Whereas for the Broncos, I feel like last week was their Super Bowl, Sunday Night Football at the Chiefs. Came close, had the ball down six late while we were sweating out one of our multis on that. So they didn't really deserve to be that close to the Chiefs, but it was one of those weird games. But now I just wonder how they get themselves up for a trip to Carolina. So I will lay the -2.5. It's $1.83 on Unibet. With Carolina, most places the game is at 3. We know that's a really key number. So that's why I'm willing to jump on, make that a best bet, even though I can't shop around at all the bookies because it's not even there's not even a market everywhere. I think -2.5 is a great price, or great line, a great price. Got another best bet here. We've got Houston at Chicago. Chicago is a slight favorite, I think. Houston, of course, is a -2 favorite. So Chicago gets the monkey off their back, gets a win last week, come from behind win again. Got another best bet here. Chicago are hosting the Houston Texans, and the Texans are a 2-point favorite. Now, Chicago is just on an absolute slide. I think they started the season something like 5-1. Nasty defense and Nick Foles, making things work. A couple of come from behind victories, but it's just all gone to hell, really. And now even Mitch Trubisky's back in there. And what was a fearsome defense on the Chicago Bears side, like these guys, I don't even know if they're still motivated. You know, you've got like a defensive line with Khalil Mack, and he didn't even record a single defensive statistic last week, like not even a QB hurry or pressure. So it's like, the one strength that you used to rely on with the Bears, you can't even be sure that they're there and they're still playing for their coach. Now, what about the Texans? Bet against them last week, and that was just as much about really liking Indianapolis in that spot. And to be fair, Houston pushed us all the way, and only a turnover 6 yards out from the end zone saves us there with the cover. One thing I did notice, I will be honest about it, is like I was sweating the whole game because Deshaun Watson is an absolutely phenomenal quarterback. He's a shining star in what's a mess of an organization, and he can make things happen on every play. But, man, Indianapolis could have won the game by more last week. There was that many times where they had Watson dead to rights and he evaded the sack, and there's so many times where if someone could have just, got an arm on him as he was in his throwing motion, could have forced several more turnovers. So when you're betting on Houston, you're going to be very worried that the defense is going to cause pressure on him, that they're going to be able to cover his receivers, and the defensive line is going to get to him. And that's where I think some people will be saying cold weather, outdoors, Chicago can do that. But I question their motivation, and I just think Deshaun Watson is keeping his team motivated because he was shattered because it was him who kind of fumbled the snap and lost them the game last week, even though he's playing his heart out. In fact, if you look at the stats and his completion percentage above, the expected rate on these throws, he's playing some of the best football in the history of the NFL. He is honestly putting together an MVP level season on a shitty team that's won 3 or 4 games. So I think you've got to step up for your QB there. You've got to try and help him get that win, whereas Chicago is just skidding and skidding. So let's play Houston. We can take them -1.5 on Sportsbet. You're going to see it's $1.90. If you want one more cent, just scroll all the way to the bottom. Other markets, -1.5, $1.91. You got to work for your money. Chiefs at Dolphins, really interesting game. I just can't lay the points with the Chiefs because they just don't seem to always go all in every week. They really seem to me to be a team that's absolutely cruising. Miami at home, I'm not interested in taking the +7. You've got to be really confident when you want to bet against the Chiefs. Now, it could be a look-ahead spot for the Chiefs. They are playing at the Saints next week, which would be number one AFC versus number one NFC and potential Super Bowl preview. Miami's still in the playoff hunt, so there's reasons to like the +7, or maybe you can shop around and get a 7.5 with the Dolphins. I've bet against the Chiefs literally once this year. I spoke about that at the start of this pod. We got home by 0.5 in the back door, and it wasn't fun betting against Pat Mahomes and company. So I'll pass this one. Vikings at Buccaneers, and the Bucs are a 6.5-point home favorite, and they're off a bye, and they should be pretty hungry. They're coming again off that loss to the Chiefs. Now they've got to get back on track because this team has high aspirations and high level of talent. So it would be a good spot to play the Buccaneers. The problem is, in my mind, it's a really good spot to play the Vikings as well. They've come off two very lucky scrape-it-out wins. You talk about a game where they had to get to overtime. They had to beat the Jags in overtime. Lucky they did. They were in our multis. And the week before that, they beat the Panthers by one. So I think they're keeping their season alive by the narrowest margins. But I think lucky win or narrow win theory keeps them energized. The truth is, go back to the month before these lucky wins, they were really starting to get it together. Dalvin Cook playing MVP level at running back there. And Vikings on their best day can compete with just about anyone. So 6.5 points is too many to lay against them. But as I said, I won't fade the Bucs in what is should be an all-in spot. And, you know, them off a bye, who knows? That gets their wide receivers more healthy and gives a little bit more time to script up some nice plays to hook up these wide receivers with Brady. Titans are at the Jags, and the Titans are -7. And the Titans, I'm annoyed at myself because I really liked Cleveland last week. That was one of my sides that I liked. And when I was just putting together the pod, somehow I forgot to look for plays for the Browns. And then a day later, the line wasn't +6 anymore. It was like +4.5. And I hate to get the worst of the number. So I said, all right, I won't give out the Browns. I'll just hope that the Titans step up. And next second, watching the game, it's like 31-7 or something to the Browns. And although the Titans came back, that was misleading. The Browns absolutely demolished them. So what do we make of the Titans? Well, I mean, they were in the AFC title game last year. They are still pretty much a similar squad. They still are a good team, and they got smashed at home last week. You don't want to bet against a team like that. With the Jags, they just keep fighting. Talked about how they got to overtime last week. So I don't want to go. I know the Jags have lost like 14 straight games. Probably 12 or 13 straight games. But they are trying hard. And if a team is putting an effort, they're at home, they're catching 7. I just won't bet against that. But as I said, I've got reasons to not bet against the Titans either. Do have a best bet here. Seattle are at home to the Jets. Mentioned the Jets. Well, I think everyone's heard this, that they blitzed 7 or 8 on that final play that allows Carter to connect with Ruggs with like 12 seconds left for the comeback victory. But that was a bizarre game as well. Like, the Raiders were up 11, 10 minutes to go in that game. And the Raiders were like $1.30 favorite, $1.25 favorite. So usually you think you got a $1.25 favorite that's up more than 10 in the fourth quarter. You should be a laugher. But they turned the ball over a couple of times. Jets went bang, bang. And next second you're going, how have the Raiders blown this? Only for the Jets to one-up them and completely blow it. And now they've fired their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, who, as far as I'm concerned, is an absolute muppet. And good luck to him. So now what do we make of the Jets? Well, I just think that they're an absolute steaming dumpster fire here. So I think, how do they pick themselves up? If they couldn't win that, and they've got players, you know, calling out the coaches, and Adam Gase absolutely is just there to make sure that they definitely finish with the number one pick, then this is not a good time to play a Seattle side that got upset last week and got their pants pulled down by the Giants. And the Giants might be sneakily better than people realize. So I think Seattle is going to absolutely destroy them here. Now, it's obviously a huge line. Like, you're going to look at this line and see Seattle -13.5. And I haven't had much success trying to pick blowouts last, like, say, 2 or 3 weeks. If you look at quite a few of the losers, because I mentioned I've picked teams to win, but they haven't covered the line. A lot of them have got backdoored. So when you've been betting teams to, like, win -7.5, -9.5, whatever, and they are up double digits, and then the late TD comes back the other way and they win, but they don't cover. It kind of makes you go, oh man, that's, I hate laying big number of points. But I'm going to do it again here because this has blowout potential written all over it. And I think this line will get to 14, if not 14 and a half, and we can still get a minus 12 and a half. Now, this will be up on the screen, but let me check for those of you who are just listening. Yeah, $1.81, minus 12 and a half on Unibet, and 13 being quite a common margin of victory, 12 and 11 are less likely numbers. So that's why I feel 12 and a half quite a key number to lay the points, and I'm willing to do it with Seattle. Just think, the Jets know that they're not going to be able to win this game, so how hard are they possibly going to try in this one? Okay, then the Falcons are at the Chargers, and my first thought was, well, I don't want anything to do with this game. The Chargers lost 45-0 last week, so like they could just be absolutely dead for the year now. And the Falcons lost a close-ish game. I think Saints were always in control of that one, but they were driving late, the Falcons, down less than 7 with the ball, so, you know, chance to win that game for a turnover there. So with the Falcons, they get themselves up now. They've played the Saints twice in the last month, which is going to suppress their offensive stats because the Saints are the best defense in the league. But what are the Falcons playing for? I just don't know if they get up for this trip out to play the Chargers. Whereas I will just play off a theory that you take a team off an absolutely embarrassing loss, a game where things just went from bad to worse. The more I hear about Herbert, the more I really like him. A lot of people who know a lot about the quarterback position say this kid really has got it. So I still will trust that they can put it together here. And I think we're going to know one way or the other in the first half. If they come out and apply themselves, they actually still have an above average NFL roster, I believe. So let's take the Chargers. Again, I'll just confirm as this will be up on the screen for you. Again, $1.81 plus 1.5 in the first half with the LA Chargers against the Falcons. Okay, Saints at Eagles, interesting one because Carson Wentz has been benched. It's just a bizarre scenario in Philadelphia. I always say you got to give credit to Carson Wentz because I don't think they win that Super Bowl without him. Now, of course, he got injured. Nick Foles comes in and plays lights out in the title game and then lights out, beats Brady in the Super Bowl. So what am I talking about? Well, Wentz was on MVP level that season. Wentz literally threw the winning touchdown in a game at the Rams in about week 11 or week 12 with a torn ACL. They then found out afterwards he didn't play again that season. That helped them secure a top two seed, helped them secure a bye, which kind of led them on their path to winning that Super Bowl. So then you kind of thought, well, Wentz would come back onto this team, which looks stacked and looked deep 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. That should be, or 2.5 years now. You know, this Philly team should be a contender for years to come, but he's just dropped off a cliff. And there's lots of speculation, like, was it because Frank Reich was the OC last on the Super Bowl team? He's moved on, and that's, they're finding out Doug Peterson, or as you know, as Wentz just doesn't have it anymore. Has he got the yips? So who knows? But he's gone. But the problem is, they still owe him, like, I can't remember. It's $100 million, something along those lines. They've got no way of getting out of that money for the next couple of years. I think if they were to cut him this year, they'd definitely lose like $60 million against the cap. So they're kind of stuck, but they're going with Jalen Hurts here. Does that energize the team? He's a first-round draft pick that they've picked up. A mobile QB, questionable how good of a pocket passer he is. Let's flip the equation. We're looking at the Saints. Now, they're playing the best defense of any team in the league. Taysom Hill is getting it done on the ground and in the air, like when he needs to. Sean Payton is dialed in. The whole Saints team is dialed in, and they're cruising towards what looks like going to be a number one seed and that one solitary bye in the NFC. I don't want to get in front of that, so I'm not going to take the points, even though Philly might be energized. Not interested in that. Would I lay the points with the Saints? If I could have played it probably a day or two ago and gone to minus 6.5, probably would have been a play. Now at minus 7, just being a touchdown on the road, and Taysom Hill is still no Drew Brees, it's just enough to keep me off the game. But I am super interested to see how Jalen Hurts goes in his full start and whether the, you know, Allen, the defensive coordinator at New Orleans, has kind of seen enough to scheme him out of the game. We'll find out. Washington at San Francisco. Well, I say at, it's in Arizona, and the 49ers are a 3-point favorite. Washington, I mentioned that the Giants are top of the NFC East, but Washington could win the NFC East as well. This is so crazy. And of course, they snapped the Steelers' unbeaten 2020 streak, getting them in Pittsburgh. Now, it was a horrendous spot for Pittsburgh with all their schedule disruption due to COVID and really due to no fault of their own. And after having to play a super delayed game the previous week, they had a short turnaround for this one. The killer for the Steelers, too, was losing Bud Dupree. And I feel like he's the heart and soul of that defense on the defensive line. That's after losing Devin Bush about a month into the season. Offensively, they were held in check, certainly in the second half. And that goes back to Washington's defense being above average and especially having quite a special defensive line. And what you thought the limitation of this Washington is the offense, but Alex Smith is playing competently there, and they've got some playmakers in the backfield and at wide receiver. So I don't want to bet against Washington in this spot. San Francisco, of course, it's still a team that made the Super Bowl last season, but you kind of saw they just don't have it anymore with the key players out, losing quite handily to the Buffalo Bills, and that was being played in Arizona as well last week, and luckily we were on the Bills. So I don't trust San Francisco. You know, if they win this easy, everyone will say, well, of course, you know, they made the Super Bowl last year. And if they lose, it's going to be obvious that it's just not their year this year. So I don't know which way this will go, but I respect Washington too much to lay the points against them, even though it's not a bad spot for San Francisco playing at the same venue again. And I've got a best bet on this one. So I just talked a little bit about Pittsburgh, and I'll lean on Alex's go-to theory, or one of Alex's, you know, favorite theories, which is winning streak theory. And that is, when a team is on a winning streak, it's like, let's keep this going. You know, let's see how many games in a row we can win. It's easy to get up. You know, like, no one can beat us. When you finally lose and you have that streak snap, it's almost like a let off. It's like, oh, well, now you want to bounce back, but it's like, well, now there's no, we don't have a winning streak to protect anymore. And you sometimes see a team that's won a number in a row lose, then lose again the following week, because now you don't have that desperation that, like, we have a chance to play for a perfect season here. So this is quite a tough spot to now go to Buffalo. And I talked a lot in last week's pod about how I believe Buffalo are a contender, really a team that I see knocking on the door to be able to cause an upset. Now, I don't know if anyone could upset the Chiefs, but the Bills are the kind of team that could upset Pittsburgh, and this could be a future playoff matchup. And it's a better spot for Buffalo being at home in this one. And as I mentioned, Pittsburgh's key injuries that really hurt them. I want to lay the short number with the Bills. This is telling me that these two teams are equal, and I think the Bills are actually the better team at this point in the season. So I'll play the Bills -1.5 at $1.91 on Sportsbet. And lastly, the Ravens are at the Browns. Pardon me. And the Browns are a slight home underdog, +2. So I think initially you're going to be looking and saying, oh, I've got to play the Browns here. They're the better team. They certainly have been playing better, even after losing Odell Beckham Jr. Baker Mayfield really has improved his play, maybe not feeling he has to force it to one guy. He's spreading it around, but also it's the running game. Since Nick Chubb came back into this team, they're just trampling sides. And the defense is really good. They had Myles Garrett out with COVID, but he's back, and he's a special defensive lineman. So they're a really complete team, very likely to make the playoffs, which I think is going to be the first time in 15-plus seasons. Now, whereas the Ravens preseason, I believed they were nearly on the level of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, it's just stuck in my head last year how dominant they were, and everyone forgot because they slipped on a banana peel in the playoffs. But in the regular season last year, the Ravens were unstoppable, and Lamar Jackson won the MVP, but it just hasn't quite been the same this year. What I do find kind of funny, look, again, we're 58-59% winners on NFL best bets this season, and been on Baltimore couple too many times, and you know, and they've let us down, and they had a big lead against Tennessee, blew the game when we just needed them to win halftime, full-time, that already won halftime, stuff like that. And I do notice the feedback, people saying, stop betting on the Ravens, they haven't covered two in a row, don't bet against them. So what do you think they've done the last 2 weeks? They covered against the Steelers and they covered against the Cowboys. And, you know, I didn't predict those winners. So I'm not trying to be smug, but I'm just saying you can't rule out any team because they haven't covered for two or three in a row. Like, that always gets built into the next week's line. If it was as easy as just betting on teams that have been covering, everyone would do that, but that doesn't always win. So my only point is, you know, you can't rule out any team. And I won't rule out the Ravens here, and I'm definitely won't be betting on the Browns on the Monday Night Football game because this is the Ravens season on the line now. Basically, they win this game. I think they're over 80% chance to still make the playoffs. They've got a very favorable draw running leading in to, for the rest of the year. They lose this game, they're going to be on the outside looking in and needing results to go their way. So I can see an all-in effort. I know that they're still a very well-coached team, and I still think Lamar is, you know, the superior quarterback to Mayfield. So I'm going to wait and see with this game a little bit longer. If anything, maybe I lay the small number with the Ravens, but they're certainly, their form has not been as good as the Browns this year. They did flog them like week two, but the Browns beat the Ravens last year. So, you know, it's hard to say who's got a, like a matchup edge, but if anything, I'd be on the Ravens. And that'll do it. So went quite in depth there, guys, because I wanted to share my thought. It's not just about you guys tuning in to hear me read best bets to you and then, you know, jumping off and trying to bet on them all. I hope that you guys are learning it, just my approach and the way that I think about the game. So it helps you kind of think of new factors or ways to look at games where we're trying to find an edge, because I've said multiple times, NFL, extremely hard to beat, extremely highly scrutinized, and there's millions, or there's, you know, there's thousands of different statistics that you can look at, and, you know, and hundreds of thousands, if not billions, of people out there that are also looking at it, trying to find an edge. So you have to try and find angles that aren't being accounted for or are being over accounted for in the marketplace. That's what I'm aiming to do. I've got a slate of best bets here, and I will look again tomorrow and release a few more if I find more value. As I mentioned, a couple of games are off the board or not in every available in every location. Plus, I like to at least look at Top Sport with their $2 lines, which are available 24 hours out of from kickoff, to see if there's any, you know, prices that are good enough on an advantage play if I can find them. So let's get after it, guys. We're back on track. Good luck for any bets you do place if you agree and you're jumping on for Monday. Otherwise, I'll see you back on Wednesday night for episode 8 of Wide World of Punting. Leg.